It's Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.
Rita, we can hear you shuffling cards there. What's going on?
Hello, hello. I was very excited by that news piece about
the bird?
The bat, that bat going into the bird competition. How exciting.
A bat in a bird competition?
Yeah.
What is the world coming to?
I'm very impressed with the amount of bird puns in there as well.
Strange time to be entering a bat into anything, really, with the pandemic and all.
Yeah.
The bats working.
Yeah, our
PR.
Bats are pretty special, though.
Say, so were the bats in that mine 8 years ago. They were pretty special, too.
Okay, not a bat lover over there.
Just Batman ruined it for me, actually, to be honest.
Really?
I don't think I have a problem with
he's
bats.
He's my favourite superhero.
He's not a superhero. He's just
he's
a rich guy that's got a mental thing with bats, and then he learned karate. That's it.
And he spent all of his fortune trying to take it. I like his dark kind of sense of justice.
Okay, one tick up for.
Okay, anyway, we'll move on.
Do you like Batman or do you like Bruce Wayne? What's going on
here? No, I don't like Bruce Wayne. Okay. Bruce Wayne's very annoying.
Now, Rita, anyway, what are we chatting about this afternoon on Sustaining Alive? Thanks to Scarecrow.
I thought that we would just cover the COP26, so that's the climate change talks that are coming up that you may have seen a few little articles about or some murmurings about climate change popping up again.
Let's do it. I just want to let everyone know that we do have a family pie from Scarecrow to give away. So register your interest right now for a vegetarian family-sized pie, which you can only assume is about the size of a dinner plate and will have broccoli in it.
Do you reckon?
Yep.
Nah.
Yeah, I'll put broccoli in there.
Mushrooms?
Everything's going to be in there. It's a vegetarian
pumpkin,
pie.
Potato?
No, it's not a vegetable pie. It's a vegetarian pie.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Mm.
You've just blown my
mind. That's
mind
blowing. Anyway, get in there for that. COP26 is the climate change talks. And I thought I'd just quickly give everyone a bit of a rundown of what it is because it's sort of complicated and boring, so you tend to look over, sort of just read over it and not really think about what
it
really is.
How are you going to make it fun? Are you going to put characters in there like a hippo and change your voice and stuff?
Something for you.
Harry the hippo thinks that's a pretty stupid idea.
Unfortunately, I cannot make it interesting, but I will try and summarise it without being too boring.
Hey.
So, these are UN talks. The UN holds these talks. You know, the same UN that's causing COVID, apparently, which means that they actually do get something done, at least, because all I have seen in the last 30-odd years is a lot of talk out of the UN. So these are talks. They are non-binding, and they happen relatively frequently. The reason that there's a 26th behind this one is because it's the 26th time they've met. So,
okay, so
they're really creative.
No firm policy, just a talk fest.
Do they talk about Greta?
Sort of. Greta heads along, usually. She's usually there, so, you know, telling everyone that they're doing nothing, and good on her, because they are doing nothing. it's just a little talk. But anyway, it is a two-week summit coming up in Glasgow. Glasgow, I feel like I need an accent to say that, in November.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. It's seen as the last chance to agree to meet the Paris Agreement. So I feel like I've heard that about 15 times, and I really feel like we have missed the boat, to be honest.
Is it time to move the agreement to a different place that's a little bit more hardcore? Like, why don't we... Like, I feel
like the
Paris
middle
is too casual, you know? If we move, like, the China Agreement, I feel like some shit would get done.
Or maybe like the middle of the Gobi Desert or something where it's like, this is your future.
Agreement.
If you don't sort
right.
it out. You know? You guys can see if you can survive here for 2 weeks and decide if you should sort this shit out.
Didn't stop Dubai, so...
Totally. A reminder that the Paris Agreement is where all the countries got together and decided that we need to remain under 1.5 degrees Celsius to basically remain, have a habitable Earth. So, you know, they looked at all the science and they got together and they said, yes, we agree with this, any more than that, and we start losing millions, if not billions, of people. So at least we kind of got to some sort of consensus on that. And then they were like, cool, right, from here we will set a pathway to how we reach that. And ever since then, it's been a clusterfuck, basically.
No one's really wanted to change their lifestyle.
That's totally it. You know, Johnny, you could just save the world a lot of money. That is just the whole thing is that. But no one wants to change what they're doing. And
it seems,
you know,
like the pandemic's not doing it either, so we need something maybe a little bit more radical. Do we need a meteor, John? What do you think?
Couple of good volcanoes, perhaps.
Volcano is actually really bad for the climate because it has the sulfur and stuff.
That is
in it.
True.
So that's
that
true. That's
true.
What we do want. No, I think a full climate collapse probably is a good idea, and then a bit of a reset. All that lives are those little microbes down at the very bottom of the ocean, and they come up, and they've just got a cool attitude. Yeah.
Do you know, Johnny, when you say like people aren't like that, like, you know, countries' leaders don't want to make a change, and it's even worse than that. So what I didn't realise was the last talks at the Paris Climate Summit in 2015, they said, okay, cool, we want everyone to go away. So they agreed to that. They agreed to that 1.5 as an aspirational limit, by the way. So I have aspirations as well, and I'm probably never going to meet them. So I was like, an aspirational limit, right? Like, it's like, we'll live in hope, but we'll die in the gutter. It's just embarrassing. But anyway, so they said that everyone needed to put pledges on the table to meet that, right? So they all came back, and everyone put their pledges in. And then when they went through them, it was like, okay, if everyone keeps these pledges, we are actually going to have a 3-degree temperature rise, which will be catastrophic. So you all need to go away and redo your homework.
So everyone's just kind of trying to have a gamble, trying to bluff, and then at the end it's like, oh, the house wins.
Rita, globally, is anyone doing anything of, I mean, substantial sort of impact? Is anyone sort of curbing what's happening in their particular country or cutting down on emissions?
Is it cheaper just to put the houses on stilts and carry on? Or?
No, no one's doing anything of any substance, okay, to be honest with you, Johnny. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some tinkering, there's some,
so
you know, there's
no nowhere that we can look toward is actually doing anything really good.
We just decide who we want to be in Waterworld and kind of go with it.
I think that we can take
a guess,
bits and pieces from places. Like, I don't think any one country has the solution. I do think that it is about bits and pieces. And mm-hmm. it's really about actually making a big shift in the way we think. Like, we've talked about this a thousand times. Like, our go-to is growth, right? Like, you know, how much is the economy growing? How much is, you know, is my financial portfolio growing? Like, those growth numbers, like, we have to change their thinking.
I'm well ahead of the curve. None of my stuff is growing at all. I'm just chilling right here. I just fixed my 50-year-old car the other day. I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah, I know. We need different metrics, you know, so that when governments get, you know, GDP growth that declines, it's not the end of the world. Like, we need, especially if our lifestyles are still okay. And in New Zealand, you know, you think about when we go into lockdown, and yeah, it sucks, and yes, that's probably not a way that we can live. But all of a sudden, you start thinking about the things that are actually really meaningful to you. You know, you can still go and walk around, you breathe clean air. Like, those things are really valuable to us. So we need to start valuing them more in our, you know, metrics that we're putting out there. Make people feel good about things rather than bad. Because I hear people say, you know, oh, lockdown's really bad, you know, the economy. And totally, if people aren't able to make ends meet because they don't have jobs, I get that. But if they are, if we can find a middle ground where we can still eat, we can still go for walks, we can still do the things that we love doing without, you know, setting our children up for a future where the world's on fire.
Isn't it interesting how they've just, the new rule is kind of like, oh, go outside and, you know, hang out outside. So hopefully people maybe go for a few bushwalks and just think, shit, this is actually pretty dope. A little bit less screen time.
I really do hope so. And I hope they start thinking about the things that make them happy.
I really want parks to turn into like kind of like a Berlin park, where you go along with a couple of swappers and just on the piss, and then you sort of come to later in the evening, and there's like two drum kits and a full drum circle going on, and you're like, man, what? How am I here? This is awesome. And then there's a guy just selling stuff over there.
Yeah, maybe.
Totally meant, man.
So you want Auckland to turn into Berlin?
I couldn't see it go up. It was great. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
I do. That'd be dope.
I do hope I get to see some of these places before I die. There is one more kind of thing I'll just quickly talk about, and that's that New Zealand's sort of presence there. We will have some representation from New Zealand. James Shaw is going, and so is Rod Oram, who's one of our leading economists who is very smart. If anyone's interested in environmental economic,
I think that's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that is interested in that. But anyway, Rod Oren's amazing to follow. But it's going to be relatively embarrassing for us because they've been hinting, the UN's been hinting at methane being a big focus this time around. And the reason for that is because methane is really about the current heat we're feeling. So methane is a very strong, atmospheric heat source, but it doesn't last very long. So there's arguments that say it's between 20 and 140 times stronger as a heating source than carbon dioxide, but it doesn't last as long. So what we can do is if we drop our methane emissions, then we're buying ourselves time, basically, to figure out the carbon problem. So that's a focus, because I guess it makes them look like they're winning something, because we will see some declines pretty, you know, immediately. And New Zealand has a shocking record. We shoot well above our allocation for methane, like well. We're one of the highest emitters in the world. And 50% of our greenhouse gas emissions come from methane. So for us, it's quite a big, you know, area that we could improve on. And we've literally done nothing to improve it. And we've excluded it from all of our targets for a long time. And even the targets for 2050, we've only slowly brought it in and only at a small percentage. We're pledging a 10% drop by 2030, which is nothing. I mean, the US is pledging 30%. So, you know, we've got a long way to go, and I think we're going to be kind of embarrassed on that front, especially seeing as we hold ourselves up, you know, as a bit of a green kind of country. So that's something that I think we will see in the headlines. And I think something that we've learned from COVID is about comms. Like, we really need leaders to be looking at this like annually, like their plans annually.
Mm-hmm.
And even look at like a doomsday. Oh, I mean, I don't want to say a doomsday clock, but maybe like, you know, a temperature rise chart or what it means, or kind of gamify it so that we feel like we're, you know, beating the rest of the world by doing better. I think we need to do some of that stuff to really make any inroads in this
I think
area.
When people see the time lapse footage of, you know, satellites traveling around the globe, and you know, you can visibly see the melting ice caps and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that is really depressing.
And also just like the other one that scares the living Jesus out of me is the desertification, I think is how you say it. When you see the desert creeping across into Europe, and we're seeing that. You know, we're seeing that in some of these countries that are in war, and you know, there's a lot of people that argue that's why they're having civil wars, because they're running out of resources, because the countries are becoming desert and they can't grow food and you know, they're having to move.
Right.
So I think when we start to see that pressure on Europe, that's when the shit's really going to hit the fan.
Climate, refugee type stuff.
Yeah, totally. And you can, you know, that's happened before, and I remember a big aha moment when I was studying and they were talking about how the Middle East used to be forest. Mm. And I was like, oh, wow, I had no idea, you know, like this stuff has happened before, you know, this climate change has happened before, and it's meant that it's an earth that we can't live on. It's we've kind of got this idea that it won't happen, but it can, you know.
Yeah, is
so
it a case
sorry,
that,
I'm not full of great news.
I'm
but
just wondering
just
how it all ends up, because we, you know, we do kind of get in a bit of a feedback loop with this. But is it a case of it actually having to happen to sort of a wealthy people first, and then something we should get done about it? Because it seems like these things obviously happen in the poorer countries. And
I think that's half the problem, is like wealthy people can avoid it because, okay, it's going to become more expensive to pay for things because those resources are going to be harder.
We created a world where money is freedom. So in that sense, if you have the money, you're a lot freer because you can go somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And so those, you know, the people that will have power will be able to avoid some of the harshest impacts. You know, they'll be able to move. They'll be able to, you know, build seawalls, or, you know, build better drainage or whatever, whereas the people that don't have the money can't. And unfortunately, they're people that quite often don't have a lot of power. So it's a kind of a... it's kind of like, you know, one of those things where it, if you read it as a collapse of a civilization, you can kind of see it coming, and,
yeah.
and that's why we should be trying to demand more from our politicians. And they're full of shit, you know. Like Auckland's got this climate crisis, yet I've never seen more trees cut down in my entire life than I have in the last 2 years here since they've called out this climate crisis. It's like, what do you mean then? Like, if you're not going to at least keep the trees that are there alive, then,
yeah.
like, what are you doing? What does that actually mean, you know? So they seem to be getting away with blue murder at the moment.
Okay. All right, well, we'll keep the chat going, and we'll catch you next Monday, Rita. Thanks so much for taking the time.
No worries. Have a good week, guys.
Thanks, mate.
Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.